Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And let's pray. Father, please, once again we come to this time in the service, and Lord, I thank you for your word, that you've preserved it and protected it and inspired it. And I just pray that, please, Father, you would help us this morning. And Lord, strengthen us. Father, I need your power. I need your help. And I'm so glad I don't have to preach this morning without you. Please, strengthen us, thy people, according to thy word, because of what we'll learn and what we see from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. And you can be seated. Chapter 5, verse 1 is our text, but sometimes it's neat to read the Bible without the chapter breaks. Sometimes I pay attention to them, sometimes I don't. I wanted you to look at chapter 4, verse 31, and watch this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another. Well, this isn't the only thing he's going to tell you to be ye. In the next verse, he says, chapter 5, verse 1, be ye followers of God as dear children. So God says here, how do you follow God? As we read, verse number 28 says, let him that stole, I'm at chapter 4, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. I think there's two things. You could pull a lot of truths out of this passage, but how do you be a follower of God as one of his dear children? Well, I think first of all, if I define the word follow, I looked it up in the Webster's, and the word follow, when God says, be ye followers of God, that word follow means to conform to. It means to imitate or copy. And the name of the sermon this morning is followers or imitators of God. That's what we're told to do in this passage. And it is very attainable. You say, I'm supposed to imitate God? Yes. How do you do that? Verse number 28 gives us one of the first things is the word give, that you may have to give to him that needeth. God says, when you give, that is one way you can be an imitator or a copier of God or a follower of God. You see, God in this passage. Then when you skip down to verse 32, and I know I'm staying in this passage right here, but God urges us to give and forgive. If you want to follow God and imitate Him as a child of His, then give because He is always giving. You say, you're talking about money. I am not talking about money only. There's many things you can give. Ask the baby, the newborn baby, it probably could care less how much money you have. It needs other things given to it. There's time, talent, and treasure. God says here, give because He's always giving. You see, if God stopped giving, our lives would end. He holds our breath in His hand. Daniel chapter 5, verse 23. The next breath that you take, God says He holds right in the palm of His hand. James 1:5 says, God giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. God gives to all men liberally. God tells us to be a follower or an imitator of God, and this because God is the constant generous giver. I love these verses, and just listen for a second. God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. 1 John chapter 9, herein is love. Chapter 4, verse 9, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. That is love. He sent His Son. Romans 8:32, He that spared not His own Son, but freely delivered Him up for us all. What a giving God. God gave all He could give. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. He gave an unspeakable... You cannot know the magnitude of it. We can't, our finite minds. So God says, follow and copy Him by giving. When you look at verse number 31, the next thing God says to do, that is to most people, this is harder than giving. God says also there, and if I looked at verse 32, it says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. God says if you want to follow Him as His dear child, give. And that's hard enough for some. But you want to know something harder than giving? Forgiving. They say the two hardest things in the Christian life start with the letter F. Faith, trusting Him, when you don't know what's going on, and you learned all of a sudden you're not in control like you thought you were. So now you have to trust Him. That's hard. And forgiving. When somebody wrongs me, I mean, they did wrong. I did no wrong. They did it to me, and then I forgive them. I don't care who you are, that's hard. And depending on what was done, it's harder to forgive, but God still commands us to do so. Listen closely. You are not Christ-like when you're forgiven, because Jesus was never forgiven. You are Christ-like when you forgive, because Jesus forgave. Give and forgive. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. How do I do that? I give and forgive. And that's really introduction, because I'd like to focus now on chapter 5 and verse 1. You see, God has for Christ's sake forgiven us. Just in case forgiving is hard, you say, well, you don't know what He did to me. I know, God says, don't look at what they did to you if you're trying to forgive. Look at what you did to God and what He forgave you of. Then look at what they did to you. And the two will not measure up. I did much more to God than anyone has ever done to me. And yet He loved me and gave Himself for me and died for me. Forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's why you don't start with the wrong. You go back to when you were forgiven, when you got saved. Then, it's still hard, but this is, you could call this, makes it easier to forgive somebody else. You see, God has cast our sins as far as the east is from the west and into the depths of the sea. If anyone has wronged us, then we need to forgive them because we have been forgiven. We forgive the guilty because we were guilty and He forgave us. If we would walk in love and follow the Lord, then we should give and forgive. God has given Himself for us, and through His precious blood we're forgiven. If we spend time at the feet of Jesus, then that is naturally followed by imitating Him. It's easiest to copy Him when you spend time with Him. And if you're not reading your Bible, and if you're not praying, I promise you the very basic of Christian skills and work becomes extremely difficult. I mean, I'm supposed to, yeah, you love even though people don't love you back. Are you spending time with the Lord? Because that's where you get the love to give to others. I don't have it to give. I don't have anything to give. Everything that I have, He gave me. If you see, and if we see good in each other, and if you see any good in me, it's Jesus working through me. It's not me. It's not me. You spend time with the Lord, and then that naturally leads to imitating Him. You see, listen closely. You aren't godly because you're saved. Salvation makes being godly possible and available to you. But you are godly because you are like God. I know that to me that helped me. We have a tendency to think we have a Christian home. Everybody in the home is saved. You don't have a Christian home because everybody in the home is saved. You have a Christian home when you do Christian activities in your home. I'm glad people are saved. I want that. So don't get me wrong, I'm not minimizing that. But it's amazing to me, Christians that don't do anything that's Christian in their home, oh yeah, we got a Christian home because everybody's saved. Being saved doesn't make you godly, and being saved doesn't make you a Christian. Being saved makes accessible Christianity accessible to you, but I know Christians that live like heathen. You can live any way you want. Christians are just as capable of the worst sins as a lost person is. You have a Christian home because you do Christian activities in your home. Not because everybody's saved, although it does start with getting saved. Amen? It does start it, and that gets the ball rolling and makes it possible. You see, God commands us to be followers of Him. God doesn't say be admirers of God. God says be ye followers of God. You see, we should admire God. And if you're a true Christian, you will. But as we spend time with God, our hearts cry, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, Isaiah chapter 6. As you spend time with God, your heart, you see, being spiritual isn't spooky. Being spiritual isn't being a weirdo. Oh, if you don't spend too much time with God, or you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. And I've heard that my whole life, but I've never met somebody that loved God so much they were worthless. As a matter of fact, I really hope, and you've heard me say this before, I hope before I die I meet somebody like that. I'd love to meet someone that just loved Jesus so much, I haven't met him yet. You can't read your Bible too much, you can't walk with God too much, and that does not make you a weirdo. It is basic to the Christian life. Every heart could cry as you spend time with God and you admire Him. 2 Samuel 2:2, there is none holy as the Lord. That's our heart cry. That could be if we spent time with Him. You see, we do know that the more time we spend with Him, the less we admire ourselves. It's an old saying of the world, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. I like that. I agree with that. But let me modify it. Imitation of God is the sincerest form of admiring Him. If you admire Him, you'll copy Him. As He has worked in your life, you'll want Him to work in others. It's also true. Then, here we go. You ready? If you don't admire the Lord, and you are not amazed at His holiness, then you cannot be walking in love, following Him as dear children. God doesn't say, be ye admirers of God as dear children. God doesn't say, be ye adorers of God as dear children. Adoration comes from meditation and admiration. It's one of the greatest abilities of the mind that a Christian can enjoy is adoring God, thinking about Him, and loving Him. Because angels adore God near the throne, there's no activity that lifts us higher as when we adore Him. But that's not what this command is. This says, be ye therefore followers of God. Let me go back to adoring. To love is to adore. And to obey is to praise Him. If you are a follower or an imitator of God, then your adoration will be sincere. True worship of God will lead you to follow or imitate Him, our God. You can't say you deeply love God and not care if He's pleased with what you do. That needs to be thought about. Because sometimes I think one of the most wonderful things every Christian in here can ask themselves is this. Or I don't ask it because I'm trying to get under your skin. But if I ask you this question, does God want you to do that? That should not be offensive to you. Does whatever it is. Well, I'm going to do this. Does God want you to do that? Is God pleased when you do that? That's a basic question. And I'm not, pastor's just being a pain again. I'm not being a pain. I'm trying to get you to think. Are you interested in Him being happy with what you're doing? And if you say, not me, if you say, well, I don't know if God's real pleased with that. Good, then stop. Then you stop. Because you said, I don't know if God's real pleased with that. Well, good. That's your opportunity to grow. It's not me being a thorn in your flesh. It's me trying to get you to think spiritually. Ephesians 5:1 says, be ye therefore followers of God. Love the last two words. As dear children. You see, here the Lord tells us what all of us are. We're children.
No, I'm not. I'm an adult.
We're children. The only people who don't like that are those who measure themselves by their own standards and are more interested in themselves than others. We're children. And one of the most beautiful titles of the Christian life is I'm a child of God. When I trusted Jesus June 7, 1986, I became one of His children. And I'm still one of His children. Yes, I've been saved 30 years, but I'm still one of His children. And I'm a dear child of God. Because God said I was. Because I said I was. Got to tell you this morning, you are a dear child of God. Because that's what God said you are. That's what God said you are. You see, when you are followers or imitators of God, we don't originate anything. When you learn a trade, you're placed under someone to do what? Copy them. When you learn to write as a child, the teacher goes to the board and she says, do exactly like I do. The J goes just like this, comes up, and now do the same. We do what? We copy because we're children. If you're a painter, you learn from copying someone who is much better than you. That's why I don't care how much of a scholar anybody is. If they are a scholar and learned, it's because they allowed someone to teach them. They allowed someone to teach them. Every leader begins as a follower. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. That's what God calls us if you're saved. Here God calls us to follow Him, imitate, copy Him. The highest goal you can have and should have is to copy the character of God. You say, well, okay, when they took everything from Jesus. Everything. Even His clothes. What was the centurion? This is the Son of God. You couldn't take what He was from Him. This is the Son of God. This is God Almighty in the flesh. That was His character. That's who He was. Our highest calling is to be an imitator or a copy the best we can as a Christian of God. When you copy God's trait, you stand out to mankind just like Jesus did and just like they said of Him, He is a wonder unto many. The Christian that says, I want to be like the Lord that saved me. I want to emulate Him. I want to imitate Him. You become a wonder to those you work with, those in your neighborhood, and your family. I know God calls us children, but it's humbling that we're allowed to be the lowliest follower of such a wonderful leader. It's absolutely amazing. Every child of God has the noblest ambition of following the one that saved them from an eternal hell. I'm so glad. We get to copy infinite goodness. Philippians 2:15 says that you may be blameless and harmless, I love this, the sons of God, without rebuke. You see, we're supposed to be just blameless and harmless. We're supposed to be followers of God. We're not supposed to be just. We're not just supposed to not do evil. We're supposed to do good. You say, well, this is, look at all that I'm not doing. Wait a second. That's not my calling. I'm not just supposed, I get to follow Him. I get to follow Him as a Christian, as a child of God. John 8:29 says, Jesus said, He gave us the example, for I do always those things that please Him. When you make following God your purpose, it tests your knowledge. When it becomes your purpose, I want to be a better Christian. I want to grow in the Lord. It tests your knowledge. You know why? Because you can't imitate what you've never seen. To follow and imitate God, you have to walk with Him and know Him. Do you know Him? Let me back up. What do you know of the Lord? If He's a cruel, intruding God, then that affects your behavior. I know some Christians, read your Bible, there's a few that says, I know that thou art an austere God, and you take what doesn't belong to you because you think you own it all. There are some Christians that have that mindset. How come you don't serve God? Well, He's too pushy. He's the Creator. If anybody has a right, He does. Well, what do you know of the Lord? What do you know of Him? Do you spend time talking with Him in prayer? You only know the Lord through His Word and as the Holy Ghost reveals Him. You see, if you're going to make following God your purpose, it tests your knowledge and it also tests your sincerity. Okay, you say, what do you mean? If you're copying something, you pay close attention to details. If you sit down to copy a letter, you look at every word. Right? If you're tracing an image, your pencil follows every line that's coming through. You're paying attention to the details. If you read the letter that you're supposed to be copying and you put the letter in your own words, you didn't copy it, you made a paraphrase. And as a Christian, I'm not supposed to paraphrase God to anybody. I'm supposed to copy God. I'm not supposed to, well, me and God, we disagree on a few things, you know. And so, you know, I'll give you my twist on it. I don't want your twist on it. I'm not supposed to paraphrase God to anybody. I'm supposed to copy God. Pay attention to the details. If you take, you can't follow and imitate God if there is not some level of intensity in your Christianity. A lackadaisical, que sera, sera, whatever will be. You cannot be a happy, successful Christian that way. It takes focus. It takes purpose. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to look at the Bible. I'm going to use it. I want to. It takes an intensity. There's no sloppiness involved. I love this statement. If you're a good Christian, it's not by accident. It's because you worked at it. Nobody in here is naturally anything but a sinner. So it'll test your knowledge when you say, I'm going to follow God as a dear child. It tests your sincerity. Next, listen, it tests your attitude towards God. I may have already hit this, but when God says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, there's not a period there. Before you go into verse 2, it's a semicolon. It says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. Listen closely. We're supposed to follow God as dear children, not as slaves. I'm a bondservant, but God never calls me a slave. He calls me His child. And if there was anybody that He could call a slave, it'd be me. But He doesn't, not one time. He calls me a dear child. That's why if your attitude towards God is, man, it's just a bunch of thou shalt and thou shalt nots. It's a relationship. It's not, if anything, He set me free. He didn't put me in a cage and say, look at my little toy. He set me free. Christian, He set you free. You're free because of the law of Christ in Christ Jesus. You're free because of His salvation. You're not in bondage. You're going to get to church. Oh, okay. Get to Sunday school. Okay. If it's all that to you, can I just tell you this morning, the Christian life's a lot more enjoyable than that. It's a relationship. It's not, we follow as dear children. You see, no parent makes his child imitate them. The holiness of any child of God is not supposed to be an inconvenience. I remember watching my dad come home from work. He'd come home in a suit. He's a biostatistician for the state of Michigan. He'd come home, always same thing, every day. Kiss my mom. I mean, it was a big kiss. He would. Walked right through the door, briefcase went down, poof, grab mom. And they stayed there in front of my sister and I. No. Never even came up for air. Then he'd pick up his briefcase, go upstairs, change from this into his grubbies. He had five cars waiting to work on outside and would work on them till 9 or 10 at night. That's what I watched my dad do. And I remember as a little boy thinking, I want to be just like my dad. One of the hardest working men I've ever known. I remember as a little boy, I want to dress like him. I want to walk like him. I'd watch him walk out to the shed. He wasn't casual about anything. I'd watch him. I want to walk like my dad. I want to dress like my dad. I watch my dad do business. Saw his honesty. I want to do business just like my dad. That's how we're supposed to follow God. I want to be just like the Lord that saved me. I want to walk like Him. I want to talk like Him. I want to do business. That's why God gives us Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so we can see how He acted with people while He was here on this earth. He was honest and pure and loving and patient and tender. I want to be just like my dad. I hope that could be your cry this morning. Be ye followers of God as dear children. You see, because we're born from above, we're supposed to live above. We follow and imitate God because of our relationship with Him. Your pleasure is where your heart is. Is there a desire for holiness and revival? Or, listen, do you delight in sin? Is serving God an inconvenience? Be ye followers of God as dear children. I find this command so helpful. It's a blessing when God tells us exactly what to do. Follow me, imitate me, copy me, emulate me, just like a child would. Follow me. That's more than put your foot in my steps. That's more. Do it just like I do it. And God says, copy me. Now that I've saved you, copy me. Imitate me. All we need to ask as a child of God is this. What would our Heavenly Father do? What is best for the cause of Christ? Here's a quick. What will give God the most glory? That's what I'm supposed to be asking. If I'm going to follow Him as His child, then I say, what will make God look the best? We cannot imitate God's power. He's all-powerful. We can't imitate God's presence. He's everywhere at once. I can't do that. We cannot imitate God's omniscience. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. I cannot imitate that. Some of God's attributes are high. They're divine. We'll never touch them. But by the aid of the Holy Spirit, you can copy and imitate God in His justice, in His fairness. You can copy God in His righteousness by the aid of the Holy Spirit. You can imitate the Lord's holiness and purity. You can do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. His truthfulness, His faithfulness can be imitated. We can be tender-hearted. We can be kind. We can be patient. We can be merciful. We can be forgiving. We can walk in love as Christ hath also loved us. There are things, you're right, there are certain things about God I cannot imitate. There are other things I'm supposed to copy. I'm supposed to copy. I'll tell you why here in just a second. God described us before we were saved. Listen closely to this verse. For we ourselves also were sometime, He said, this is what you used to be before you got saved. We were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy. You say, what's malice? Malice is when you do something intentionally to tick somebody off. And it's not necessarily sinful in itself. It's just when you did it to make them mad. That's malice. That's malice. He said, you lived in malice and envy. And then listen to these words, hateful and hating one another. I've seen that at the job space where I used to work. People hating each other. God says you used to live like that before you got saved. But after that kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration. That's Titus chapter 3 and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's so sad, and I've mentioned this to a few people. It's so sad to know that those who trust Islam go to hell. Muhammad Ali's been in hell, writhing and burning for now over a week. Amen. Watch that video on Fox News, and he's going around charging $100 a signature. And then he must have said this four times, I'm just trying to get to heaven. I just want to make sure I get to heaven. They recorded him saying that, I just want to get to heaven. And the moment he breathed his last breath, the burning began. And the writhing and the screaming. He's been there a little over a week now. I think that's so sad. He was one of the most pleasant people, was extremely prejudiced, hated America. If you can push all that aside, the false god of Allah is a demonic monster, and he's a false god. He's a pedophile. I'm talking Allah. It's sad to see the deception of Islam. You say, how do you know that? Because as I've talked with Muslims, I find that Allah requires you to die for Him, but He would never die for you. And that's the difference. And I tell every Muslim that. I said, I'm so sad your God requires you to die for you. I said, my God died for me. And then expects me to live for Him. Our text again says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, following or imitating God. Listen closely, just a little bit more. Following or imitating God helps me handle criticism. Because when you're following and imitating the Lord, and you're trying to copy Him, and you make somebody mad, that normally shows what type of a person they are. What are you trying to be? Like Jesus? Yeah, I was. Well, who do you think? You're not. It normally shows. In other words, I can handle criticism when I'm trying to copy God, because I don't care who doesn't like it. Normally, the only people that get angry are God haters or ungodly crowd. That doesn't mean I do things to make people mad. I'm just saying I can handle criticism. You see, as a matter of fact, Jesus told us in John 15:18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If anything, Jesus gave me a mindset as I read the Bible that helps me expect criticism from the world when I follow Him. You know what's wonderful when you realize in the Christian life, you're not going to make everybody happy. If your life's verse is this, do you like me? You're not going to make it. Because you're going to make somebody mad. If you do right, you make those who do wrong angry. And if you do wrong, you make those that do right angry. You're going to tick somebody off. So why don't you live your life like you plan? Look, there's a crowd. I don't care if they get angry about me or not. I don't care what they put about me on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or blah, 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 blah. I don't care. They'll always be upset with me. I can't make them happy. I'm living for God's approval. And I want God's people happy. You see, we need to know in this passage right here, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Nothing makes us more useful to everyone. You know why? We're sent into this world to remind everybody that comes in contact with us by our actions that there is a God. Atheists have bragged about being able to answer every argument of a Christian. But what stumps them and what brings them to a screeching stop is a changed life. They can't answer it. How can you explain? I used to be a drunk. I used to talk this way and act this way, and Jesus changed me. And they go, They can't answer a changed life with all their reason and their education. Well, isn't God, whatever. The filth pours out of their mouth. Prove to me there's a God. You're looking at Him. I'm proof that there's a God. He saved me. Glory to God. I'm proof there's a God. And our lives are supposed to prove it. We were sent into this world to testify to a dying world that He lives and He exists. And they can't argue with it. You see, in our Christian walk, we are reminders to those who are careless, and we are teachers of the ignorant. When they examine our lives, they should be learning of God. Holy men are the world's Bibles. They don't read the New Testament, but they read our testimony. 2 Corinthians 3 says this, "Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, knowing and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be," listen, "the epistles of Christ." Paul said that. God used Paul to pen that. If I asked you this question, I think a noble goal is those I work with are going to see Jesus. I want, and you got to pray about it, and you got to yield to the Holy Ghost, and you have to walk with God. Dear God, help me that those that I work with, that they're going to see Jesus in me. And that's a holy goal, and it's a good goal. But it won't happen by accident. Let me ask you a question concerning that. What do your co-workers know of the Lord because of you? Jesus said, "Ye are my witnesses." You see, people couldn't speak evil of Christianity if our lives were not so weak and inconsistent. Gandhi said, "I would be a Christian if it was not for Christians." Your own personal holiness preaches louder than words. And I'm still for soul winning, all that, so don't take this that direction. I praise the Lord for the committed Christians that we have in our church. It's wonderful to be able to say to somebody, "Hey, you ought to come to our church and you ought to see how God has worked in the lives of people that come to our church." That's what I'm inviting them to see. You ought to see how the Lord worked in his life and her life and what the Lord did in their life. You ought to come to our church and see God working in people's lives. That is one of the things that is a benefit for church. Christian, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. I'll just read you. It should amaze us that God allows us to be called his children. 1 John 3, 1-2 says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Now. John 1:12, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You were dead in trespasses and sins, and God in his love saved you. You didn't make you God's child. God made you one of his children when you trusted him. Then, after he saved you, God's put up with your mistakes and your failures and your forgetfulness. Aren't we glad? After he saved me, he put up with me, and he was patient with me. What a God. What a God. God has cared for you and helped you in every difficulty since you've been saved. He's pardoned all of your sins." It should amaze us that we even have that title, child of God. Very few Christians follow and imitate God as dear children like they should. But he's still their father. He's still their father. You can enjoy God at any time. I love it when the prodigal son went away and the son that stayed home. Then he comes back, and he goes to the one that stayed home, goes to his dad. He said, "You never threw a party for me. You killed the fatted calf for him. Bring robe and rings and shoes." And And he looked, and the father looked at the son that had never went away. And you can, I think he says it to every child of God. Son, son, thou art ever with me. Listen, and all that I have is thine. What a God. That's what he says to every child of God this morning. All that I have is yours. Your problem is you've never asked. How come you didn't throw me a party? Okay. You want a party? I can blow your mind with a party. God says, I can give you. He says, the only reason you haven't enjoyed me is because you never asked me anything. But he says that to all of us. Sometimes a Christian can get discouraged and they'll read a verse like this, be ye therefore followers of God, even as dear children. And they can read a verse like this and they say, I can't imitate God. I struggle enough as it is. They don't live in victory. So our text then, when they read, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, our text then to that type of a Christian that has that mindset, I'm a sinner. That's all I'll ever be. I'm a failure. God hates me. And so they read it and they think it then becomes a whipping post to them. They read, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and it seems like there's an off-limit sign to them. Can I just tell you this morning, if your mindset is that way, the hard part has been done. God made you His child. It's already been done. You are already God's child if you've trusted Him as your Savior. And it's a lot easier to follow and imitate your Heavenly Father than it is to become His child. God did the borning again. He borned you again. He did the hard part. Now He says, since I saved you, follow me and imitate me. Copy me. Do what I do as His child. God has begotten us again unto a lively hope, and we've been born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God, and we've passed from death unto life. The hard part's been done. I'm so glad. Once saved, always saved. If saved, amen. Amen. Okay, once saved, always saved. What is left to do now, now that you're saved, now that you can't lose it, is our reasonable service. The Lord has given you, child of God, a new nature. The Lord has given you the Holy Spirit to help you. I love Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. All of my weaknesses. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you glad? God knew everything that was wrong with you and He still saved you. Let me give you another encouraging thought. God knew where you were going to fail and He still saved you. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? He knew. He knows the past and the future. Look, this is a nice piano. Okay? Someone gave this to the church. But it doesn't play itself. And its sound is dependent upon the person sitting there. It doesn't play itself. You and I as Christians are just like the piano. And if you'll let the Holy Ghost of God sit at the seat and God can use you to make beautiful music. Do you understand? And that's why God will use you if you'll let Him, just like a piano or any instrument. We sound best when we let God play us. You don't have to look for the Holy Spirit if you're saved. He lives within you. All you have to do is yield to Him. You can walk with God all day long now because He's with you everywhere you go. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to enjoy one of the main delights of heaven. We can live in His presence all the time. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. This morning, followers and imitators of God. No, it is possible. It's a command. We're commanded to follow Him. It's a command. And it's a command, glory to God, every one of us can keep. Every one of us can keep. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this truth this morning. Thank You for Your salvation, for Your precious blood that washes away our sin. I pray, please, that you would use the truth and help us as your children to follow and imitate you. We can only do that as we walk with you.